Dr. John Green is on board with us this morning live. And John, Super Tuesday, no big surprises here, right, for Donald Trump. He takes 15 of the 16 states. But maybe some signs there, because in looking at this voting, cities, suburbs, and then you break it down further, some of the more highly educated college areas leaned a little bit there towards Nikki Haley. So your summary coming out of Super Tuesday, first of all, for the former president, Donald Trump.
Well, you know, it was a good night for Donald Trump. He won all but one of the primaries, usually in most states by, you know, significant margins. He did, however, lose to Nikki Haley in Vermont, you know, a very liberal state, as some of my friends say, a state where even the conservatives are liberal, you know, by national standards. But she made some inroads in some of the suburban areas, some of the smaller cities. And so, you know, there was some strength for Nikki Haley. So she picked up, you know, some delegates, even in many states where she ended up losing. And, you know, I think that's, you know, looking forward to the general election, that's something that the Trump campaign will want to be concerned about, because, you know, this election is going to be close. We don't know how close, but it's going to be close. And particularly in some of those swing states, both Trump and Biden will need, you know, every vote that they can get from the groups that normally support them and their party. And then, of course, they can compete for the independents. It'll be interesting to see if Nikki Haley stays in the race. She promised she would stay into Super Tuesday. She's kept that promise. You know, there's some rumors out there on the internet that she's going to suspend her campaign. But, you know, mathematically, Trump does not have a lock on the nomination. But in terms of momentum, he's in pretty good shape.
John, let's go to the Republicans themselves. Of course, that's where they vote with the primary. And as you mentioned, substantial victories for Donald Trump. But as I mentioned, there's some areas there, if you want to, I don't know if nitpick is the right area, but certainly concerned with some Republicans that are giving Nikki Haley their vote. And that percentage, it's not like 5-10% in some of these states. Some states, 20, 30, even more than that percentage rates. If you're in the Trump camp, is that an area of concern?
You know, it certainly ought to be an area of concern. How that will materialize, you know, 8 months from now is hard to say. But it does suggest that there are elements of the Republican coalition that are at least skeptical of the Trump candidacy, if not opposed to it. And the Trump campaign will have to do something to address those voters, because many of them are solid Republicans. They're just not sold on the idea that Trump is the best candidate for 2024.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. So Donald Trump going forward here, a lot of momentum, and he's got those folks that are so loyal to him. But then you get to that middle third, right, John? And you and I touched on this 2 or 3 weeks ago. The middle third that says they won't vote for Donald Trump, would they vote for Biden, or are those words just coming out and eventually will sway to the former president?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because there's a lot. The polls show a tremendous amount of discontent, and the independents, the moderates, are in some ways the most discontented. You know, they're unhappy with a lot of things, like a lot of Americans are, you know, inflation, some of our foreign policy problems, so forth and so on. But those folks in the middle tell pollsters over and over again that they're not very happy with a rematch between Biden and Trump, a rematch from 2020, because they're not very happy with either of those candidates. You know, they tend to see Trump as a very disruptive figure. They also worry about Joe Biden's age. So, you know, these are folks that, you know, really, you know, for many of them, will probably come down to some kind of coin flip. You know, which one do I go with? You know, what's the lesser of the two bad candidates? You know, that kind of thing. And, of course, there's another possibility. It could be that large numbers of those people will just decide not to vote for president. Maybe they'll come and vote for governor and for Congress and so forth. Or maybe they won't vote at all, because people who are really discouraged with their options often decide they'll just stay home.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. Let's go to Joe Biden. Obviously, pretty much unopposed in most of these states. But what we are seeing is uncommitted votes, right? We saw that in Michigan. We saw that again in Minnesota. And a large amount of votes and a lot of people pointing to his stance with the war with Israel and the Gaza Strip. Does he still have time, John, and what? We are 7 months away from the general election. To change his stance on that, would he change it with an election year? I think this is very interesting going forward.
Well, you know, I think that it was a good night for the Biden campaign. You know, they won all but one of the contests. The president was edged out in American Samoa, although he got some delegates out there. But you're right about the protest vote, the uncommitted vote. In some states, you know, that was substantial. Not as substantial generally as it was in Michigan, you know, a little while back, but substantial. And I think that's a warning for the president. Also, the turnout in many of these states was very low because really there was no candidate opposing President Biden. There were people who wanted to send a message to the White House. You know, there were a number of policies that have been irritating some elements of the Democratic coalition, some of the concerns about, you know, Israel and Gaza. That's part of it. Also beginning to feel some pinch with some of the immigration problems, some of the border problems. And, you know, I do think there is time for the president to adjust. But if he's going to make a policy change, it better be soon, because it'll take time for the policy to take effect. And so, you know, this is not the kind of thing you want to try to do in August, you know, before an election in November. And the president does have a wonderful opportunity to announce a big change if he wants to on any of these policy areas because of the State of the Union address tomorrow night. Although, and the most important part of that is because of the concerns about the president's age, everybody's going to be watching his every mannerism, you know, every sentence he utters. So he needs a good night tomorrow night, just in terms of his performance. But there is an opportunity to address some of these policy concerns.
Boy, John, I think you're spot on. Each and every word is going to be picked apart from Joe Biden at the delivery coming up tomorrow night. John, there's a name that's starting to pop up a little bit, and he's got enough legs now to get on the Nevada primary, and that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he's come out and he's starting to make a push, and I'm not saying it's a big push, and you'll see where I'm going here, but his stance politically is very interesting. He's not a Democrat, but he's more Republican, but he's not a Republican. He's a little bit more critical of the Democrats, and he is a Democrat. So how do you look at Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Is he a player in this at all? And if he starts to gain steam, who would he hurt more?
You know, those are really important questions. The most important thing for Robert F. Kennedy's candidacy is, can he get on the ballot? You know, running as an independent, people face real hurdles and challenges of getting on state ballots. They have to collect signatures and so forth, and that's not only expensive, it's time-consuming. And, of course, neither the Republicans and the Democrats are real happy about having, you know, independent candidates on the ballot. So there's usually a lot of pushback in many of these states. But Kennedy's managed to get on the ballot in a couple of really swing states, and there's real prospects he may get on more ballots. You know, he probably has to get on, you know, something like 20 states to really, or more, to be taken seriously, you know, by many, many voters. But he has some really distinctive appeal. You know, he is in some ways a throwback to the older liberalism, you know, of the 1960s and 70s. But he's staked out some really interesting positions on foreign policy, on issues like vaccines, which may, you know, give him a really interesting profile in American politics. And polls suggest right now that if the election were held today, he would probably hurt Joe Biden more than Donald Trump, but he would draw votes from both sides. And that's because I think his unique set of issues appeals to a bunch of Republicans in some ways, but also to a bunch of Democrats in other ways. And, you know, and of course, his name really helps him. I mean, that's the kind of name that gets you a lot of attention.
John, my final question, where we are now and into March 2024, the general a few months down the road. It was stated back a few months ago that we probably won't see a presidential debate. With what has transpired so far, do you think that statement is still true?
Well, you know, a lot of people thought we wouldn't see a debate because, you know, President Biden wouldn't, given some of his limitations, wouldn't want to do that. And other people said, well, you know, if Trump's ahead in the polls, why would he bother to debate, right? But I think we might see a debate, and it's partly because of the changing situation that we've been talking about. It would be really to Joe Biden's advantage from the perspective of today to debate Donald Trump and do a good job. And it may also be in the interest of Donald Trump to have a debate and do a good job, because that might, you know, solidify his position in a lot of these states. But so much depends on what happens with the economy, with foreign policy, and frankly, with politics over the next few months.
That's for sure. John, thank you so much for getting up with us. Always great insight, my friend. Way to bring it to us here in Akron again. Appreciate the time.
You're very welcome. Have a good day, Ray.